Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Wednesday evening and welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here today. Coming up on today's show, we're going to sit down with Hatchet Wrestling coaches John Rapinski and Dane Borgkart to talk about the season. We'll also have Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game on. We'll also have Badger basketball with the potential to win the Big Ten despite losing to Penn State last night. Bucks going on a three-game winning streak. They're in Cleveland tonight. But first, you know where we're going to begin. It's in Green Bay.
First and 10 football at the 38 of Dallas. Play action and bootleg, left half bootleg. Now throw back the other way. He's got him wide open. Down the right side. Musgrave. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown. Luke Musgrave. And a dagger. A dagger right through the heart of the Cowboys.
Yes, that is correct. The Packers have won a playoff game, ladies and gentlemen. And there were a lot of things to be excited about, but I think most importantly, it was...
That's the power of love.
Exactly. So before I dive into this analysis, let me go ahead and give you what it's like. So typically with the Packer games, I watch them in a very myriad of ways. Most of the time, it's at my place, in my apartment, in Merrill. And my wife got off of work early, and she had the ability to watch the game with me. She doesn't watch a lot of football, but while I have it on, she'll do something else. You know, she will just, you know, look on her phone. She'll play video games, whatever. So, but she'll sit down, and she'll watch the Packer game with me. She is very, very well set on that. And as the game went on, you saw Green Bay get an opening drive touchdown. Then you saw them go up 14-0. You thought, oh, this is fun. Then you saw them get another touchdown and go up 20-0. Then the pick six by Darnell Savage, and all we could help for was smiling and laughing because of how amazing it was to see this particular game. And remember, this is a Dallas team that was top five in the NFL defensively and offensively throughout the course of the season, and Green Bay not only won, they punked the Dallas Cowboys. Straight up punked them, no matter whatever way you slice it. Let me go ahead and give you the numbers from this particular game for Green Bay that makes it so impressive. Aaron Jones, who hadn't been healthy all season long, and he started to come on strong, you know, in the final few games of the season, tied a franchise record with three rushing touchdowns in a game with Ryan Grant that was back in the 2007 divisional round against the Seattle Seahawks, excuse me. But,
what about love?
Yeah, what about love? Do you believe him now?
Do you?
Jordan Love, 21, 257 yards, three touchdowns, not a single interception, the highest quarterback rating by a Packer quarterback in a playoff game in franchise history, a 157.2 quarterback rating, surpassing Lynn Dickey, who did it back in the 1982 wildcard round. So Jordan Love has now had a better quarterback rating in a playoff game than Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Bart Starr. That's remarkable. Also, we had a 99.3 QBR, which on ESPN Index on a scale of 0 to 100. That's the highest in a playoff game in NFL history. For perspective also, to compare the quarterback ratings, Favre's highest quarterback rating in a playoff game was 137.6 in the 07 divisional game against Seattle. Aaron Rodgers' highest quarterback rating was 136.8 in the 2010 divisional round against Atlanta. And Bart Starr's highest quarterback rating was 143.5, which was in the 1966 NFL Championship game against Dallas. And also, another note, Romeo Doubs, six catches, 151 yards, and a touchdown. Second most receiving yards in a postseason game in franchise history behind Devontae Adams, who had 160 back in the 2019 divisional game against the Seahawks. And now here's my analysis from this. The Green Bay Packers absolutely dominated Dallas in every last facet of the game. Every last one, no matter whatever way you slice it. Offense putting up 41 points on the scoreboard, 415 total yards, 6 total offensive touchdowns. The defense, 4 sacks, 2 interceptions, pick 6 by Darnell Savage, 2 interceptions leading to 14 points. And they surrendered really 16 because the final 16 by the Cowboys were collected in garbage time. And the special teams, I think, was the most underrated aspect of that particular performance because they forced Dallas to take the ball inside their 10, inside their 15, inside their 20 consistently and force them to beat them going down the field. That was an absolute complete performance by that Packer team. And it got me thinking as well, and we'll chat more about this when we sit with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. This, to me, is the biggest playoff upset in my lifetime by a Packers team. Not in franchise history, but in my lifetime. I think that this is a bigger upset than when Green Bay went to Atlanta in the 2010 divisional round and knocked them off 48-21. I think it's more than that because nobody expected Green Bay to be in the playoffs at the beginning of the season. No one expected them to go into Dallas and not only beat them, but absolutely kick the living you-know-what out of them. These are the other contenders for the biggest upset. You want to put the 2010 NFC divisional game in there? That's fine. You want to go all over NFL history. You could even include even the 2016 divisional game in Dallas, even though that was a tough game. You want to go the 93 wild card game in Detroit? That's fine. The 95 NFC divisional round in San Francisco when the 49ers were the reigning Super Bowl champs. If you consider any of those, totally fine. They're the only road team, by the way, that won this postseason. And that's the biggest upset of the playoffs so far. First time a number 7 seed beat a number 2 seed. The Green Bay Packers played their absolute best game of the season, and they waited, and they've done it with their backs against the wall ever since they lost to Tampa Bay back in week 15. And here is the most surprising stat out of all of this. Do you guys realize that the Green Bay Packers have now more playoff wins at AT&T Stadium since Dallas? More than Dallas. They have 3 playoff wins. Dallas has 2. Think about that for a second. Again, Jordan Love, 16-21, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns. Aaron Jones, 131 total yards, 3 scores. Romeo Doubs, 6 catches, 151 yards, and a touchdown. Offensive line, not a single sack on that pass rush by Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. That's how dominant that offensive line was. Defensively, Darnell Savage, 64-yard pick 6. 4 sacks from the Packer defense. Keyshawn Nixon, Devondre Campbell, Lucas Van Ness, and Preston Smith. Jair Alexander, 7 tackles and a pick. He has fully embraced now, I think, this new formula. At least I hope so. Because he played great. Now, let me get to what I think is the most underrated aspect, I think, of that Sunday performance. That was the best coaching performance by Matt LaFleur in his career in Green Bay. The best, period. End of story. He's had a few good ones, but maybe not as good in the postseason like he had. The closest that he had to it was in the 2020 divisional round when they beat the Rams because Green Bay put 32 points on the scoreboard, but they essentially shellacked the number one ranked defense in the NFL. That, to me, is the only thing that comes close to this coaching performance by Matt LaFleur. He was scheming guys open. He was making the right play calls. He was making the right calls in the end zone, in the red zone as well. Again, they went 6. They went essentially 5-for-5 in the red zone in that game. That is remarkable. And listen, I've been a proponent of Joe Barry being let go at the end of this season. That was his best defensive coaching performance of the year, in my honest opinion. It's not because of the fact that they not only beat Dallas, but kicked, again, the living you-know-what out of them. But it's because that they had no fear. They forced Dak Prescott to beat them. And he didn't. Dak Prescott, by the way, 7th quarterback in NFL postseason history with 60 pass attempts in a game. Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Steve Young, Dan Marino, Bernie Kosar, and Drew Brees are the only other ones to do it. 415 total yards again from Green Bay, 193 rushing yards, 272 passing yards. They were 6-of-10 on third down, And Dallas, the only reason why they got to 500-plus yards is because of all the empty calories they gained, if you will, so to speak, in the final few minutes of that game. I got a news for Cowboys fans.
It's good to be king.
It definitely is good to be king. Jordan Love with 3 touchdowns. Aaron Jones with 3 touchdown runs. Darnell Savage with a pick 6. That was an absolutely dominating performance by Green Bay. Now, as exciting as that was, let's go ahead and focus in on what Green Bay has ahead of them. They've got the 49ers coming up this Saturday night. We're going to have the broadcast of the game for you here on WJJQ, and I'll be making my divisional round predictions in the second half of the show. After I said, and remember, after I said that Green Bay beat Minnesota, I said no matter what happens from here on out, this season is a success. Because I thought it would be 7 wins. They got 8. They got 8, then they got 9, now they have 10 total. So no matter what you may think about this, this season is a success. They are ahead of their rebuild. And the fact that they are doing this also without their supposed number one receiver, Christian Watson, who hasn't been really healthy this season, is insane.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
I wish I was. I am not out of my mind. It is absolutely amazing.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now again, no matter what happens from here on out, I don't care if they get I don't care if Green Bay gets clobbered by the 49ers. This season was already a success because of what has gone on. I hope Green Bay wins. I don't think it'll happen. Precursor. Foreshadowing. But you have to be proud of this young team. This is the youngest team in the NFL, youngest team to make the playoffs since 1977, and they're the first number 7 seed to knock off a number 2 seed. Congratulations to Green Bay. Let's go over the other playoff results from this past weekend. First off, the Houston Texans knocking off the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to give out some rounds of applause. First off, C.J. Stroud. First NFL postseason start as a rookie. First postseason win. Houston over Cleveland, 45-10. Kansas City knocking off Miami in minus 30-degree wind chill. Temperatures 26-7. Buffalo, that game was postponed because of the snow that took place. They knock off Pittsburgh 34-17. Again, Green Bay over Dallas, 48-32. Detroit, congratulations to the Detroit Lions for their first playoff victory since 1991. Knocking off the Rams 24-23, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers shellacking the Philadelphia Eagles in Tampa 32-9. I'll have my divisional round predictions coming up in the second part of the show here on WJJQ. Now, let me tell you what the Bucs are going to do and how their 3-game winning streak is a very good sign for what's to come. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Hopefully the weather will be cooperating soon, making some safe ice for fishing. Well, when the ice is ready, you'll be ready after a stop at Vigut Stewart Express of Tomahawk. Select from the popular brand of ice augers. Check out the selection of fish locators. Keep warm with Eskimo ice fishing jackets and bibs with a size for men and women, plus lacrosse boots and ice armor gloves and mittens. Vigut Stewart Express also offers live bait and a nice selection of tip-ups. Vigut Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, your ice fishing headquarters.
Let Carrier provide quiet, efficient heating all winter long with innovative solutions for premium comfort available at Hilgi's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. Learn the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilgi's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilgi's for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit Hilgi's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill is offering their great daily specials. Today it's all-you-can-eat shrimp and fries for $11.99. Specials are valid with the purchase of a beverage and dine-in only. Enjoy the shrimp special today, $11.99. All you can eat shrimp and fries at Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill. Billy Bob's is open daily at 11 o'clock, County Highway L north of Tomahawk. It's all you can eat shrimp and fries for $11.99 at Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill today.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great evening so far today. Coming up on the second half of the Sports Q, we're going to sit down with Hatcher Wrestling coaches Dane Borkhardt and John Rapinski, get their thoughts on the season so far. Plus, we'll also sit down with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game, get his thoughts on what Green Bay can do to upset San Francisco, and plus NFL divisional round predictions. We're going to go ahead and close out the first half with talking some basketball. And first, we'll dive right into the Milwaukee Bucks.
5.2 left. No timeouts left for the Bucks. Here comes Dane. 3 seconds. Dane pulls for the win.
Oh, no!
Dame time is alive and well in Milwaukee.
All right. So the Milwaukee Bucks have obviously won three straight, including knocking off the Sacramento Kings on Sunday night. And you heard that was Damian Lillard's first ever buzzer beater as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. Tonight, they've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. Giannis Antetokounmpo is out with a shoulder contusion tonight, so not sure how that's going to affect Milwaukee. But the last three wins that the Bucks have had are over quality opponents. Milwaukee knocked off Boston 135-103 in resounding fashion. It was the fifth game out of seven for Boston. It was, you know, the second of a back-to-back, so a little bit of salt in that one, but still a respectable win nonetheless. They beat off Golden State. Golden State is a team that really has been through a lot this season. They were without Steph Curry. Klay Thompson has been a shell of himself. Draymond Green has been suspended since the beginning of the season, so it's been an overall rough year for Golden State. Still a quality win nonetheless. And, of course, Damian Lillard's first buzzer beater as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks Sunday night, knocking them off 143-142. Let me tell you what I've seen from Milwaukee in this most recent stretch of games, though. They have shown what they're capable of. They definitely have shown what they're capable of offensively. Defensively, again, they need to make some tweaks. I think they need to make a move at the deadline in order to get a 3-and-D guy to come here to Milwaukee and see if they can instill a defensive mentality. Bobby Portis has been great off the bench for them. The thing, though, is that Pat Connaughton has not performed up to the standard that he has had over the last few seasons. So I think that there's a potential that he could be moved elsewhere. Milwaukee could get a quality sixth or seventh piece to come off the bench and benefit them. Because right now, allowing less than 120 points in a game is considered a success defensively for Milwaukee. That's how it is with Adrian Griffin at the helm at this point. But what I will say is that offensively, Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo together have been dominating. Giannis right now is on track to be the scoring champion this year, which he's been a defensive player of the year. He's been a two-time MVP. He's been a finals MVP and an NBA champion. If he is able to get the points champion, that would just add another achievement to his notch as already the best player in Bucks franchise history. But again, the defense has to tighten up. This is a defensive team that has Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yes, Damian Lillard is more of a liability as a defender, but you still have Campaign who can defend. Malik Beasley, not necessarily a good defender. You're going to need guys that know how to defend. And again, this could be Adrian Griffin with his scheming issues. It could be that the fact that the defense that he wants to run doesn't fit Milwaukee's style of play, which is perfectly understandable. But if that's the case, I would say give Griffin until the end of the season and see how far you could go with him in the postseason. If you go farther with him than Mike Budenholzer did last year, then that season is already considered better than what you had the previous year. They need to continue to be quality opponents. They do take a bit of a step back in competition. They do have Cleveland tonight. Cleveland is no slouch by any stretch of the imagination. But then they've got back-to-back in Detroit, and they should win both of those games. But after that, they've got New Orleans. New Orleans is not bad. You got the defending champion Nuggets, and then you go to Portland. So they have a pretty decent stretch of games where they should string off 4, 5, 6 more wins in a row. And I could see them getting another 3 guy off the bench. Milwaukee still is the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. They're a few games behind Boston. They're going to need to tighten it up. I remember saying before the Badger basketball season began that the Badgers have a legitimate shot to not only win the Big Ten regular season title, but maybe even the Big Ten championship, in spite of the fact that they have Purdue, Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan State, all these teams that are very well coached that are at the top of the AP poll. And up until last night, the Badgers were undefeated in the Big Ten conference play. They're now ranked number 11 in the country, which is their highest ranking since early of 2021-22. 14 out of the 17 games they've played now, they've put up 70 points or more. They are 11-3 now after losing to Penn State last night in games from which they scored 70 points or more. They're now 4-1 when they scored 80 points. They lost to Penn State last night, 87-83. Again, 83, though, is still tied for the second highest point total that Wisconsin has put up in a game. They put up 88 earlier this year. They also dropped 105 in a game against Arkansas State. That was in the opener. They also put up 71 against Ohio State Northwestern. This Badger team is starting to become a lot more put together offensively. Again, their newcomers, A.J. Storr and John Blackwell, have been key contributors for them. And I think the biggest reason why they lost to Penn State last night was because they were caught off guard by the quickness of Penn State's guards and the fact that Max Klusman fouled out with about 2.5 minutes remaining. The last time, though, the Badgers started 5-0 in Big Ten play was in 2007-2008. That year, they won the regular season title and they won the tournament title. They then went to the Sweet 16 where they were upset ultimately by Steph Curry's Davidson team. The starting five for that team that year was Marcus Landry, Brian Butch, who's now currently doing color commentary for the Big Ten Network, doing a great job, by the way, Joe Krabanoff, Trayvon Hughes, I remember him, and Michael Flowers. There were 3 NBA draft picks on that team. You not only had Landry, you had Greg Steensma coming off the bench, and you had John Luehr that was coming off the bench as well. They were 31-5 that year, 16-2 in Big Ten play. They still are currently at the top of the Big Ten, but they're now a half game up on Purdue as opposed to a full game, or 2.5 games, which is what they would like to be. They're ahead of Purdue. They're ahead of Indiana. They're ahead of Illinois, Minnesota, Northwestern, all of these teams that are performing very well to begin the season. The Big Ten is going to be a very tough out no matter who Wisconsin plays. Yeah, losing to Penn State is unfortunate, but everyone is allowed to have a bad night. Offensively, they didn't take a night off. Defensively, they did. And again, I think they were caught off guard by the quickness of Penn State's guards, and that's the biggest reason why they lost that game. They've got 13-4. They won 6 straight before last night. They're still 8-2 in their last 10 games, and the key stat, they're 9-1 at home. That's very key when you start to head down the stretch. They've got Indiana coming up on Friday. Indiana, again, no slouch. Trayce Jackson-Davis, he graduated, but they're still very well coached under Mike Woodson. Then they're at Minnesota. Wisconsin after 9 should win their next 3 games. I say should, knock on wood. Indiana at Minnesota. Then they've got Nebraska. But then after that, it gets a little bit tougher down the stretch. You start to go into February, March. You got two games with Purdue, one with Illinois, who's currently ranked in the top 20. And then you've got Michigan State, who's always well coached by Tom Izzo. So, yes, Wisconsin has gotten off to a very good start, and I think they could win the Big Ten championship if they end up keeping up this offensive play. They need to tighten it up defensively, though. They've been very, very good to great in spots. If they just tighten it up a little bit, which I'm sure Greg Gard could do, because defense was his mentality and slow play was his mentality because he was the successor to Bo Ryan. If he's able to tighten that up, I think Wisconsin has a legitimate shot to win not only the Big Ten regular season title, but also the Big Ten championship. Something to keep in mind as well. Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Second half of the Sports Q goes like this. We're going to kick things off with talking with Dane Borkhardt and John Rapinski, Hatchet Wrestling coaches, to get their thoughts on the season so far. We'll talk with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game to get his thoughts on what Green Bay needs to do to knock off San Francisco. Plus, I'll make my NFL divisional round predictions, and we'll also have Hatchet highlights from last night's hockey victory over Northland Pines at Sarah Park. That's all coming up in the second half of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It's 6 degrees here under clear skies, and it's just about 6. It's time for our latest update from CBS News.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The misery continues in the nation for those slogging through snow, battling ice, and suffering through frigid temperatures. More than 40 people have died in the storms. 3 were killed in Oregon, and a baby was hurt when a power line fell on their car during an ice storm, and it's going to get worse. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Developing winter storms will dump snow, several inches in places, across the Pacific Northwest, the Northern Rockies, as well as Tennessee, West Virginia, and much of Kentucky. Jason Walter stopped at a store to stock up in Hazard, Kentucky.
I understand you're getting out and maybe being a little frantic because power goes out. You don't have stuff that's easy to make sometimes.
Deaths are being blamed on the recent wintry weather and record cold. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
There is some optimism on Capitol Hill after lawmakers from both parties meet with President Biden on a package including aid to Ukraine and the border. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries says
it was a very positive, forward-looking, candid discussion about the issues of importance to the American people.
Within the hour, former President Trump lashing out at the judge in his defamation trial over his refusal to delay it for Trump's mother-in-law's funeral. Writer E. Jean Carroll is seeking at least $10 million in damages from Trump.
That's a nasty man. He's a nasty judge. He's a Trump-hating guy. And it's obvious to everybody in the court. It's a disgrace, frankly, what's happening. It's a disgrace.
Now to Britain, where King Charles is having a procedure next week to treat an enlarged prostate.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Buckingham Palace says King Charles III will undergo a procedure for an enlarged prostate next week. The condition is said to be benign. The suggestion is that the king has gone public to encourage other men to get checked.
A suburban Chicago woman is sentenced to 26 years in federal prison for her role in the murder of her mother in Bali. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
Heather Mack was 18 and pregnant in 2014 when she and her boyfriend vacationed in Bali with her mother. Sheila Von Wiesmack's body was later found stuffed inside a suitcase after the two tried to load it into a taxi. Prosecutors say Mack covered her mother's mouth while her boyfriend Tommy Schaefer bludgeoned Wiesmack to death so they could access a $1.5 million trust fund. Mack served 7 years of a 10-year sentence in Indonesia for her role in the murder and was arrested in 2021 when she returned to Chicago with her then 6-year-old daughter. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
An American passenger allegedly bit a flight attendant on an ANA aircraft in mid-flight, forcing the Seattle-bound plane to return to Tokyo. Crew members detained him. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's something magical about unboxing.
When you unbox BritBox, you uncover a world of British entertainment. Stream the UK's most brilliant series, including new and upcoming seasons of Shetland, Father Brown, and Death in Paradise. Plus new originals like Payback, Irvine Welsh's Crime, and Archie, the story of Hollywood's greatest leading man, Cary Grant. Unbox BritBox and escape to the best of British TV. Stream with a free trial at BritBox.com.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you roll a Charmin, up to soft on the potty. Let's just also roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. The crib is always stocked.
It's our potty wine.
She's crushing on the face, so my cheeks feel fine.
So what?
Everybody wanna touch the sky.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
There are dogged questions now about the oldest known canine in the world.
The Guinness World Records people have suspended the title of oldest dog ever.
The oldest known dog in the world has died.
It was held by a dog in Portugal that died last October at what was said to be 31 years old. Bobby, the guard dog, was a breed that had a life expectancy of 14 years. Now there are questions being raised, including doubts from several veterinarians. Guinness is now reviewing. The dog's owner defends the title, saying he's earned no money from it, and he provided as much proof as he could. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Yes, that's no doubt, and they are back. They are reunited for a second time and are among the headliners for this year's Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Their last album was released 12 years ago. Allison Keys, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:04 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook, and this is the Sports Q on WJJQ. We'll get into our interviews with Hatcher Wrestling coaches John Rapinski and Dane Borkhart after our weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods, we survived and made it through the worst of the cold. I didn't say it was over just yet, but the worst is gone. Wind chill advisories have expired, but it's still going to be cold. We'll be partly cloudy tonight as lows crash to 7 below, but it'll be feeling more like negative 15 when you wake up tomorrow morning. Bright and beautiful sunshine will start our day off with more and more clouds increasing, but the clouds act as blankets, so tomorrow night we won't get as cold. In fact, flirting with zero, as a few flurries could be potentially be flying around. That's not too bad. I'm WJJQ meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far today. It's now 6:05 and it's time for our Hatchet interview. And we got a couple of wrestling coaches in the house tonight. We've got John Rapinski and Dane Borkhart. Gentlemen, welcome back and thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get right into it. John, I'll start with you on this. How has the boys' team looked so far this season?
It was a little rough at the beginning of the season. They're working hard. We had a couple letdowns. I think that they have stepped up to the challenge to show that we're better than that, and they have worked really hard to prove it, and I couldn't be happier with them as far as where they're at right now. So
definitely. Dane, you and I talked before the quad last week with Lakeland and Antigo. Your team came away with a couple of dual wins last week. What did you think of your team's performance, and what was it like to get back on track?
Yeah, overall, I was very happy with our performance that night. Like I was telling you beforehand, Lakeland being the team to beat after losing to them last year. So I was really happy with how the team stepped up. Everyone, I thought, up and down the lineup wrestled very well. We were aggressive. The matches that we needed, the pins, we got them. Everyone understood their job and went out and got it. There was very few letdowns, if any, going on throughout the lineup for both duels. And I think that's overall just a great step in the right direction after just having such a young team and how we started the season to where we are now. It looks like it's going really well.
That is great to hear. Again, talking here with John Rapinski and Dane Borkhart, wrestling coaches here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. This next question is for both of you. John, I'll start with you. Let's focus in on this girls team. This is the first time the Hatchets have had a girls wrestling team. You've had girls wrestle here in the past, but this is the first true team that you've had. What's it been like coaching girls wrestling this year?
Well, it's been amazing, and they're technically not a girls' team so much as they are just part of the one team, and we just have never had this amount of girls on it before. And I will tell you that they have impressed us up and down the season. They have shown that they can go through adversity. They're working really hard. And we have some really spectacular young ladies that have chose to step on the mat this year. And we couldn't be more proud.
Dane?
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, going through high school wrestling, you see, you always have, you know, a couple girls that might join your team and practice with the boys. And it's just seeing it this year, just the amount, the sheer numbers that we got and just coming out all at once. I think that's just really interesting because, you know, we never really saw that before. But just seeing their enthusiasm for the sport, something they've never tried before, it's just really cool to go to practice and you see them all laughing or, you know, having a good time, training really hard, and they're really buying into what we're teaching and what we're showing them. And then to see it all pay off, you know, when they go out and wrestle on the mat, they, you know, they're having a good time with it, and they come out usually successful, and that's just really awesome to see.
This question is also for both of you. Feel free to answer. Why don't you give me an underclassman and woman that have taken a big step forward so far this season? John, I'll start with you.
As far as the girls, I think Elise Gibo has been fantastic all season. I do want to mention Reese Molitor. She's really come quite a ways from the beginning of the season till now. She's competing with girls that I think at the very beginning of the season would have probably pinned her, and she's doing a phenomenal job of listening and learning and working really hard. On the boys' side, we talked about Connor Jones, and he is really, really stepping up. I mean, he's doing things that somebody that's a first-year wrestler shouldn't be able to do, and boy, it's exciting to watch him.
That's great. Dane?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for the girls, there's so many of these younger girls that haven't tried it before that they're all doing such a great job. I would also throw in Kylie Peizig, just, you know, truly gets after it, just like her brother did, you know, for us last year. So I thought that was just one that stood out to me. And for the boys, same thing. Like I said, Connor Jones gets after it for never having done the sport before, super aggressive. I'd also throw in there, like, Fletcher Bauman, our heavyweight, Tristan. It's just awesome to see him go out there and, you know, just wrestle and have fun with it. And all the kids get behind it, and it's just really cool to see.
It's definitely great to hear. Again, talking here with Hatchet Wrestling coaches John Rapinski and Dane Borkhardt here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. John, let's go ahead and focus in on the boys' next match really quickly for you. They hit the mat tomorrow night. They have Triangular with Rhinelander and Wausau East. What are you going to be looking for in these two matches with these teams?
They both bring something different to the meet. So Rhinelander's a rivalry school. They've had good wrestling over the last several years. They're down a little bit right now, but they still have some phenomenal athletes. And some of those matchups should look really fun. They should be really nice. And we'll definitely have to wrestle well to be able to compete with them. Wausau East is bringing as good a team as they've had in a long time. They look really good. They're going to be a great matchup. I think it should be really exciting wrestling. It's going to take us winning some matches that are close, definitely, to beat them. They're up, and I'm glad to see it. I mean, it's nice to see teams that are starting to come back and push other teams around this area. It's what we need. It's the kind of competition we need to get better. So,
Dane, for you, let's go ahead and focus in on the girls' next matchup here, and then I'll let you both go. The girls' next hit the mat on Friday. They've got an invite over in St. Croix Falls. What are you going to be looking for in this particular invite from that team?
Again, we're just looking at, well, at this point of the season, you know, this will be a multiple competitions in now. So we want to see just this continuous improvement, keep seeing the things that we teach in practice, apply it on the mat, and just kind of seeing that, you know, kind of the shakiness of learning the sport kind of go away as we keep getting more and more mat time. I think we're already seeing that already up to this point, so I just want to see, like I said, a continuation of that, just girls feeling more comfortable, having less nerves before a match, and just, you know, seeing more success because of that, just having that experience, you know, start to pay off towards later on down the stretch here.
John and Dane, I'll give you each some final words before we wrap things up here.
The biggest thing I want to say is last Thursday when we had our home meet, I want to thank the community. They showed up in droves. It was amazing. Our kids felt that electricity. It definitely showed when we stepped on the mat. It was so amazing to see such great support from these Tomahawk Hatchet fans. It meant a lot to us, and we can't thank you enough for being there to support us. So we appreciate everything that this town does for us. We appreciate everything that that you guys do to make us better. So thank you for supporting us.
Dane?
I agree. The support has been tremendous so far this season, and we just really hope to keep seeing that going forward, even leading up to our sectional tournament hosted here in Tomahawk, which would, you know, one of the biggest ones of the year, right? So
definitely is great to hear. Again, the next matches for the wrestling teams. Hatchet Boys Wrestling will be in Rhinelander for Triangular tomorrow at 6. Hatchet Girls Wrestling back on the mats Friday at St. Croix Falls with matches beginning at 5 o'clock. John Rapinski, Dane Borkhardt, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming back and chatting. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yep,
appreciate
you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll sit down with Hunter Bumgard from 97.3 of the game to get his thoughts on the Packers wildcard playoff dominating victory over Dallas from this past Sunday. You're listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
At Belltower Residence Assisted Living, we believe in making every day meaningful for seniors. Our commitment to dignity, respect, and caring is at the heart of everything we do. Our vibrant and engaging community offers a wide range of activities and opportunities. From social gatherings to stimulating hobbies, there's always something interesting happening. Nestled on a lush 12-acre campus, Belltower Residence offers a tranquil and beautiful place for seniors to call home. We understand the importance of personal attention and compassionate support, which is why we provide individualized care plans to meet each resident's needs. Experience the warmth and care that define us for residents and staff alike. And if you're ready to make a difference, join our team. We're hiring resident assistants and certified nursing assistants. We offer free CNA classes to employees, competitive pay, a supportive workplace, great benefits, and more. Visit us at belltowerresidence.org to learn more or to apply online to join our team. Belltower Residence Assisted Living, 1500 O'Day Street in Merrill.
Enchada Country Club offers two state-of-the-art golf simulators to keep you swinging your clubs during these winter months. Call 405-331-30 to schedule your tee time on one of the sims. Go online to find the simulator hours and make sure you follow Enchada on Facebook for monthly simulator hours. Enchada Country Club, 405-331-30, and online at EnchadaCC.com. It's the Enchada Country Club.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Currently joined by 97.3 The Game executive producer Hunter Bumgard. Once again, Hunter, welcome back and thank you for joining me.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Alex. Always enjoy being on WJJQ and excited to talk about this unprobable playoff run that the Packers are on.
Yes. I think that's the best way to put it. Well, a dominating wild card win for Green Bay over Dallas, 48-32 on Sunday. There's a lot to get into here, Hunter. But first off, let me ask, what do you think was the biggest reason Green Bay pulled off the upset on Sunday?
I think the biggest reason was, the play of Jordan Love. And I think, you know, as good as the defense was, and they got two interceptions, which is huge. I think they had seven, eight, nine, whatever it was. And then they got two in that game. That's huge. Obviously, you need that. Pick six was big by Savage. But the way Jordan Love played and the way he has played in recent weeks has been better than I could have ever imagined that he'd be in his first year. And so we can get into that specifically, but I think it was Jordan Love. It was that when you have, and we've seen it in the NFL for years, when you have a quarterback that can take over a game, really, right? That can make any throw, that can stand in the pressure, that can, you know, avoid the pressure when he needs to, that can change plays at the line. All those characteristics we've seen from Aaron Rodgers for years and years and years and years. And
yes.
That's what's made the Packers so competitive for years and years and years and years. Well, Jordan Love is doing like all of that in his first year. And not that he's, you know, who knows what his career is going to be, right? It's hard to predict even next year. It's hard to predict this Saturday against San Francisco.
Yeah.
But what we do know is he has the talent to be up there with the best in the league. And that's what we've seen over the last, you know, 5 weeks or so. And that's more than that, really. I mean, since probably week 11 or 12, he's been on a, he's thrown 21 touchdowns and one interception over that time. So
yeah.
Week 11 or 12. So that's the incredible part. But yeah, I think when you have a quarterback like that who can not only keep you in a game, but win you a game, that was, to me, the biggest reason why they won in Dallas.
Well, let's focus in a little bit more on Jordan Love here, Hunter. Let's just go through the numbers. 16 of 21, 272 yards passing, three touchdowns, a 157.2 quarterback rating. That is the highest by a Packer quarterback in a playoff game in franchise history, surpassing Lynn Dickey in the 1982 wildcard game, and also equaled the QB rating put on by C.J. Stroud of the Texans on Saturday against Cleveland. Going through all the numbers and analyzing his performance specifically, what do you think was the most impressive part about his performance?
To me, it's just the decision making, and it's the accuracy, the ability to make throws that other quarterbacks just can't make. The throw that came to mind was the Romeo Doubs catch, the final touchdown.
Yes.
Where they go for it on fourth down, which I love. You know,
yes.
The principle of going for it on fourth down when you're up by 30 is just fantastic. You're up 25.
Go ahead and rub it in.
Well, yeah, that, especially in the playoffs. And we kind of saw he took the starters out, and then, you know, things got a little, you know, it was never, you know, out of reach or anything, but it was just, he got a little tighter. You always want to score as many points as you can, especially against the Dallas team who could score quickly. We saw that all season long.
Yes.
So keep putting points on the board. So I love that aggressive mentality by LaFleur. But that throw to Romeo Doubs, that was, and I hate to bring it up again, but that was Rodgers-like. That was Favre-like, right, where they make throws that other quarterbacks just can't make. And,
mm-hmm.
and you see throughout the NFL how many teams, especially this season, it felt like in the NFL, there were so many quarterbacks who just couldn't even make it, you know, a few weeks starting, right? There's these teams that kept cycling through quarterbacks, whether it be through injury or whether it just be through ineptitude, right? You think of Tennessee, who mixed between Levis and Tannehill throughout the season, or the Steelers, who ended up having Mason Rudolph, who was the backup for most of the year, start their playoff game a couple days ago.
Like, yes.
It's hard to find a good quarterback in the NFL. And then it's even harder to find, and incredibly hard to find, guys who can make a throw like that.
Yes.
And then, on top of the ability and the talent to throw that sidearm, you go to the Wicks touchdown. And LaFleur talked about this at his presser on Monday and how impressive that was, and changing the play at the line and then being able to read the blitz and then stand in there and fire a dart to Wicks over the middle for the touchdown. Like, he's got the mind for it, too. And that it makes you excited for, number one, as a Packer fan. But also just then you know he can beat good defenses. It's not like Dallas had a bad defense this year.
Their defense was ranked top 10 consistently throughout the course of the season.
And he was able to just absolutely pick them apart. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, he was able to pick them apart. So that was just, it was such an impressive performance. And to be honest, it reminded me of the, and there was a ton of parallels in this game, you know, compared to this game I'm going to bring up. But the Atlanta game for Rodgers in 2010,
yes,
right? In the Super Bowl run, when they blew out Atlanta, they went to the one seed and they just, you know, were up 28-14 at halftime. One, I can't remember exactly. They might have scored 48 in that
They
game.
Did.
Okay, so there was the exact same, you know, offensive and defensive output as far as points go. And then, of course, the other parallels, the Savage pick six and the Tremont Williams pick six and, you know, all those similarities in there. Which is really cool, but that it felt like the playoff coming out party for Jordan Love, where he just could not be stopped, and you hope it continues on Saturday.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game, executive producer. Hunter, I want to ask you this question, because obviously you and I are roughly around the same age. Do you think that this is the biggest Packers upset, maybe not necessarily in franchise history, but certainly in our lifetime?
That's a good question. I mean, when I go back to upsets in our lifetime, the Atlanta game, I think, is the only one that could be up there, because mm-hmm. I think that they were the one seed that year. They were expected, obviously, if you're the one seed, you're expected to go all the way. And that was it was a good, very good Atlanta team.
Yes.
But this is... It's tough, because there's so many similarities between the two. I think it's either that Atlanta game or it's this Sunday. I think this Sunday was up there. The only thing I have is that Dallas is, we've seen them lose in the postseason when they're not supposed to so many times.
Yes.
So going down to Dallas, I was like, well, you kind of got that factor where they just can't seem to win in the postseason. And it's not necessarily like you could blame coaching, you could blame players, you could blame ownership, you could blame GM, you could blame so many different things. But just like some things in life just seem to happen. And with the Dallas Cowboys, they haven't been to an NFC title game in like 33 years.
Right.
That, like, for some reason, Dallas is not able to win in the postseason. So that kind of gave me a little hope. So the team in 2010 was really injured. The Packers were that year. It was amazing that they went all the way to the Super Bowl. So it's up there. It's that Atlanta game or it's this Sunday. But like you said, it's right up there, and what a huge upset it was.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go ahead and focus in on Aaron Jones, who kind of was burying the lead, if you will. He had 131 total yards, 3 touchdowns against Dallas. The 3 touchdowns, by the way, tied a Packer franchise record with Ryan Grant, who had 3 scores in the 2007 divisional game against Seattle. That was the Snow Bowl game that year. What has led to his resurgence, you think, over the last few weeks, Hunter?
Just health. I mean, he's finally healthy. And, like, we've been waiting for this all season long. And we saw him play really well against the Bears in week one before he hurt that hamstring on the long touchdown. And he pulled up and he was running into the tunnel and had, his arm on his hamstring. And then from then on, he just could not get healthy. Then he comes back. Then he starts to be effective. Then he hurts the knee. And then it's, getting the knee back to go. And then finally he gets back, a few weeks left in the regular season. And when Aaron Jones is healthy, he's one of the top running backs in the league. And
yes,
we continue to see that. And it's just almost like a secret weapon because the Packers have been known for their QB play for so long. But we knew that they'd have to lean on, some other playmakers on offense if they're going to be successful this year, because we didn't know if we had in Jordan Love. Now we kind of know what we have in Jordan Love, and that he's a really good quarterback. So he can make, obviously, plays and very much help you win a ball game. But you having that combination of Jordan Love and Aaron Jones and making defenses have to account for both and what they're both going to do is just, it's huge. And I think with Aaron Jones, when he's healthy, That's just the biggest thing for him. And he's been, not only is he obviously on the field, he's great, but off the field, I think he's a huge leader in that locker room, and it's been so big for the young guys. Jaden Reed, there's a clip that came out a couple days ago from Jaden Reed saying they were mic'd up on the sideline, and Jaden Reed saying to Aaron Jones, you inspire me. This is why I play for you because you inspire me. And it was just a really cool moment of a young guy talking to a veteran guy and how much he's looked up to. I think Aaron, with this young team, Aaron Jones is very much looked up to on this team. So it's the perfect storm, right? The fantastic guy, the guy who loves being in Green Bay, the guy who took the pay cut to stay in Green Bay, and the guy who can go out and just dominate, especially in Dallas. The guy is just, every time they go to Dallas, he plays super well. So but to me, the biggest thing is health. When Aaron Jones is healthy, it's so big.
All right, Hunter Bumgarn from 97.3 The Game, joining with us here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Final question before we preview the 49er game this Saturday, Hunter. The Packers defense essentially held Dallas to 16 points until mid-fourth quarter when the Cowboys essentially doubled their score in garbage time. How do you think the defense step up and essentially dominate Dallas for most of the game?
Yeah, I don't really know. because I could see that game going two ways. I thought if the Packers were going to win, they would sneak it out late, maybe a late field goal
right,
or something. Obviously, nobody thought they'd blow them out. But I didn't think they could hold Dallas in check as much. Now, Dak Prescott had just an awful game.
Like, yes, he did.
Decision-making, his taking huge sacks. Like, the Packers won, yes, but in order to win that big, you have to be aided by the other team and the other team's mistakes. And Dallas didn't, definitely had their fair share of mistakes on Sunday.
Yes.
But it's turnovers, right? Jair with the pick. Then they go down and score a touchdown. Savage with the pick six before halftime to go up 27-0. Should have been 28-0, but that's understated.
Yeah.
but it's turnovers, right? This team throughout the season did not get turnovers. So that was just, not one of the worst in the league at turnovers, one of the lowest in the league in interceptions. Like, that's, if you're going to beat these really good teams, these teams that are at home favored, San Francisco this weekend, Dallas last weekend, if you're going to do that, you need to turn the ball over. And those two interceptions directly turning into 14 points, How many points did they win? They won by 16. And I get that Dallas scored a couple garbage time touchdowns, but still, they won by 16.
Yep.
They scored 14 points via the defense. And then that's going to be, I think it's going to be so big as we transition to look at Saturday night. I think it's going to be so big to turn the ball over on Saturday night.
Yeah, let's go ahead and now transition over to preview Saturday, Hunter. The Packers are going to travel to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. Let's just go ahead and be blunt here. San Francisco has been Green Bay's boogeyman for pretty much the last decade. The 49ers have won four straight playoff games against the Packers, including winning over them in 2021 in Aaron Rodgers' last playoff game in Green Bay. What do the Packers need to do to pull off the upset Saturday night?
Do exactly what they did against Dallas. Like that's the recipe. I mean, they are going to have to, and I don't expect them to put 48 up on.
No.
But again, I didn't expect them to put 48 up on the Cowboys defense either, but I think San Francisco defense a little better. I think that the San Francisco has the most playmakers on offense in the league.
Yes.
So with that, your defense is going to be challenged more than the Cowboys. You know, Cowboys have Dak Prescott. Cowboys have CeeDee Lamb, and, you know, Tony Pollard's great, but, you know, Tony Pollard's not Christian McCaffrey, right? Their tight end is not George Kittle.
No.
And to be honest, you know, CeeDee Lamb isn't Deebo Samuel. I mean, these guys are just, they're loaded on the offensive side. Now, Brock Purdy is a guy who we don't really know how he's going to show up in this big moment. Obviously, he got, you know, a little experience last year, but I think overall, this is going to be, it's going to be defense. I think this Packers offense, with how well they're rolling right now and how LaFleur is scheming, I think LaFleur deserves a ton of credit for that Dallas win. I think LaFleur and that offense can scheme up and do some things and score points on Saturday night. But I think it's going to come down to that defense. And that makes me a little worried because
yes,
I know it can be very finicky, that defense this year. We've seen great performances like the last few weeks, right? Minnesota, Chicago, Dallas, great performances.
Yeah.
But then we also saw the Carolina game, 30 points, the Buccaneers game, right? We've seen the Giants game against Tommy DeVito. So this is no Tommy DeVito, you know. this is a different animal in San Francisco. So I think it's going to come down to that defense. I think the offense is going to put up points, but can the defense hold them? And can you somehow get, you know, like a 34-28 win or something like that. I think in order to beat the 49ers, I think you're going to score more than 30 points this weekend.
You're probably right.
And I kind of thought that against Dallas as well. And they ended up doing it and they ended up winning. So I think if you're going to do that, I think it's going to come down to the defense and getting a couple of turnovers that can turn the game.
So again, the Packers have lost four straight playoff games to the 49ers. The last win was in the 2001 wild card game. Brett Favre was the quarterback for Green Bay. Jeff Garcia was the quarterback for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, this is Alex, and you might feel the same way. I know, you know, Packers fans older than us, you know, really don't like Dallas, right? Because Dallas beat the Packers so much in the 90s. And we were having this discussion on Drew and KB. The show I produced yesterday afternoon was the fact that every generation kind of has a different team they love to beat. And for the generation older than us, maybe our parents that age, their team is Dallas, right? They love to beat Dallas because they lost so many times in the 90s. For me and for you, maybe the same way, it's the 49ers.
1,000% agree. 1,000% agree. I cannot stand the 49ers.
Right, because they're the team that has knocked the Packers away from a championship so many times.
Yes.
Over the years. The blowout in the NFC title game in 2019, obviously the 2021 season where they lost in the block punt and the whole bit in Lambeau Field on the snowy night on a Saturday night. So, like, and the Colin Kaepernick game in 2012, like, there's so many of these examples of how the San Francisco 49ers have beaten the Packers in the postseason. And so this is, if what's wild is, and I've heard someone put this in perspective, I can't remember who it was, but Jordan Love could beat Dallas, who Brett Favre couldn't beat in the playoffs. Then they could beat San Francisco, who Rodgers couldn't beat in the playoffs. So he could do it all. In his first year in the playoffs, he could do it all. And then you think about maybe the NFC title game. Say you play Tampa, right? Well, Packers, Aaron Rodgers couldn't beat Tampa in that NFC title game. So you could go through all of them in the first. Now, it's easier, way easier said than done, but I'm just saying it's kind of fun to look at and do a couple of things that Favre couldn't do and beat the Cowboys, and Rodgers couldn't do and beat the 49ers, and Love could do it in two consecutive weeks.
Isn't that something? Packers take on the 49ers. Yeah, Packers take on the 49ers Saturday night in San Francisco in the divisional round playoff matchup. Kickoff's at 7:15. We'll have the broadcast of the game for you on WJJQ this Saturday night. Hunter Bumgarn from 97.3 The Game, thank you very much once again for joining me, Hunter. Looking forward to Saturday night.
Me too. Absolutely. Enjoy it, everybody. And thanks for having me, Alex. Always fun to be on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Hunter. Hunter Bumgarn from 97.3 The Game, executive producer. Coming up next, NFL divisional round predictions here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Don't be caught by Old Man Winter once he arrives with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and a great service after the sale with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Lows dip down to about 6 below tonight under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 12. A dusting of snow Friday. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's near zero.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much to Hunter Bumgarn from 97.3 The Game and also Hatchet Wrestling coaches Dane Borkard and John Rapinski for joining me on today's program. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far today. Without further ado, let's now dive into our divisional round NFL predictions. Here we go. All right, we have four divisional round games to preview. Three of them will be broadcast on WJJQ. Let's start off with the one that will not be broadcast. That is on Saturday afternoon. The number one seeded Baltimore Ravens taking on the number four seeded Houston Texans. For Baltimore, this is a team that, you know, has had failure in the playoffs consistently, whether it's from Lamar Jackson or him being hurt and Tyler Huntley coming in. They are finally fully healthy. They've got a really good receiving core, a good team overall. And they have come out and have beaten everybody like gangbusters. Lamar Jackson is currently the favorite, in my opinion, to win his second straight MVP this season. On the other side, you've got the Houston Texans. Houston is a team that not a lot of people thought were going to make it this year because of C.J. Stroud, a quarterback, and the fact they went 4-13 the year before. Now they have C.J. Stroud. They have Nico Collins. Their defense is vastly underrated, so I think that they could give Lamar Jackson fits. And it didn't shock me the fact that they beat Cleveland because I thought it was a very, very... it was a pick'em game, but it was the fact that they beat them handily. They hung 45 on the Browns, and that was in thanks to two pick sixes by Joe Flacco. I think the Texans will make it close, but I don't think there'll be an upset. I'm going to take the Ravens to win this game. I think that it'll be close all the way up until the fourth quarter, and I think Baltimore pulls away 31-21. The game will be broadcast on ESPN and ABC. Let's go to our first broadcast, and it's Saturday night. The number one seed San Francisco 49ers taking on the number seven seeded Green Bay Packers. Now, Green Bay, obviously, not a lot of people expected them to make the postseason overall. They won their final three, and then they went into Dallas and kicked the absolute you-know-what out of them. So a lot of people are looking at Green Bay and saying, they may have the next quarterback of the future instead in Jordan Love, and they got a young receiving core that can make plays. On the other side, the 49ers have consistently been one of the best teams in the NFL and definitely the best in the NFC, in my opinion. They've got a good defense. They've got really good skill player positions with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and they have Brock Purdy at quarterback. He's not a guy that's going to put up gaudy numbers, but he is going to not put the ball in harm's way. He does have the ability to do that, but I don't think that he'll do it consistently. I'm going to take San Francisco to win. I think Green Bay will make it close until late in the second half, and I think the 49ers pull away 31-17. So those are the Saturday games. Sunday games, we're going to have both of these games broadcast here on WJJQ. And the first game of the day is number three seed Detroit taking on number four seed Tampa Bay. Now, the Detroit Lions, congratulations to them once again. They got their first playoff win in 32 years on Sunday. Deserve a lot of credit for that, especially beating Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams in the process, the team that originally knocked them out. And then on the other side, you've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, through the middle of the season, lost 6 of 7 games. They backed themselves into the postseason by ending up winning the division by winning 3 of their final 4. So this, I think, is going to be a close game. And Tampa Bay absolutely slaughtered the Eagles and essentially sent them back into irrelevance. So I think that this will be a close game. I think the Lions, behind the play of Jared Goff, behind running the ball with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, and the reliability of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who right now is a top 5 receiver in the NFL, I'm going to take Detroit to win. I think it'll be another close one, similar to what it was with the Rams. I got them winning 28-27. And then our final game of divisional weekend will be the number 2 seed Buffalo Bills against the number 3 seed Kansas City Chiefs. We'll have the broadcast of that game for you here on WJJQ with coverage beginning at about 5:30. The Buffalo Bills knocked off the Pittsburgh Steelers in their wild card round, and I would say in decently convincing fashion, they allowed Pittsburgh to stay in the game, I think, a little bit too long, but they ultimately were able to pull away thanks to the efficient play of Josh Allen. If Allen keeps playing like he did against Pittsburgh, I think the Bills have a legitimate shot to go all the way this year. On the other side, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, and Kansas City is a team that obviously is the defending Super Bowl champions, but a lot of questions about the receiving core. Now there's questions about Patrick Mahomes. Their defense, though, is legit. I think that they can match Buffalo blow for blow, and I think that this is going to be a tough game. Patrick Mahomes has won both playoff matchups against Josh Allen in his career. And I remember back last year, Kansas City was able to get off the schneid against Joe Burrow. Patrick Mahomes was, anyway, against Joe Burrow. But this year, I think Josh Allen gets off the schneid against Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to take the Bills to win at home. I don't have a road upset. I think one will happen this week. I just can't see which one it'll be. So I'm going to take the Bills to win this game. I think it'll go all the way down to the wire. It will depend on the weather, and it will depend on who gets the ball last. And I think ultimately Buffalo beats Kansas City 27-24.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Those are my NFL divisional round predictions here on Northwoods 92.5. WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Cube with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
When a bank puts customers and community first, great things happen. like you getting the support you need, tailored to you. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we're different on purpose. As a customer-owned mutual bank, a big part of every dollar we make goes right back into the community. It's how we put purpose first. Crossbridge Community Bank. Purpose first. Visit crossbridge.bank.
Come on, come on, choose health and motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health and Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Heading into 2024, Gary will begin his 39th year in business, offering service to our Northwoods communities and making him the longest operating auto dealer in the area. If you're looking for a new-to-you vehicle in this new year, well, then make sure you check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. There's cars, trucks, SUVs, over 40 units to choose from. And if you can't find exactly what you're looking for on the lot, Gary can help you find your next vehicle. The Auto House has a selection of rental vehicles if you need one, and that's what you call doing business the right way for nearly 40 years. At the Auto House on North 4th in Tomahawk, they're online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our final countdown, taking a look at Hatchet events upcoming. Thursday, Tomahawk Wrestling Triangular with Rhinelander and Wausau East at 6. Tomahawk Boys Swimming Double Duel with Medford and Rhinelander at 5:30. We're going to have Hatchet Hockey on the air for you as Tomahawk takes on Pacelli. Zach Garner's in the booth with me. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show 6:35, puck drops at 7. On Friday, Tomahawk Girls Wrestling has an invite at St. Croix Falls at 5. Tomahawk Hockey will be taking on Oshkosh. It's senior night at Sarah Park. Again, Zach Garner will be back at the booth. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show 6:35, puck drop 7 o'clock. Tomahawk JV Varsity Girls Basketball in Northland Pines. JV 5:45, Varsity tips off at 7:15. Saturday, Tomahawk Boys Wrestling has an invite in Marcusan at 9:30. Tomahawk Hockey's in Marshfield at 2. Monday, Tomahawk JV and Varsity Girls Basketball will be in at home again. Shawamigan will have the broadcast of that game for you on WJJQ. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:50. Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth that night. And Tomahawk JV and Varsity Girls Basketball will be back in action on Tuesday in Three Lakes. JV tips off at 5:45, Varsity at 7:15. JV and Varsity Boys Basketball in Antigo. JV tips off 5:45, Varsity 7:15. Tomahawk Boys Swimming with a double duel at Rhinelander with DC Everest. That'll begin at 5:30. And also, finally, Hatchet Hockey on the air at Wapaka. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 6:35. Opening faceoff at 7 o'clock. And Ryan Flynn will join me in the broadcast booth Tuesday night. That's going to wrap up the Sports Q here on WJJQ. As a parting gift, we're going to play some Hatchet highlights from you from their victory over Northland Pines this past Tuesday night, winning 7-1 with Zach Garner and I in the booth. It was revenge for Tomahawk as they were able to knock off the team that essentially ended their season last year. That's going to wrap up the Sports Q for me here on WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Thank you for tuning in. Have a sportacular week, and I'll see you next week. Hey! School hockey is live and on the air. A very good Tuesday evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us here. We're coming to you back at Sarah Park in Tomahawk, where we get set for another great Northern Conference showdown between Tomahawk and Northland Pines. And joining me right back in the booth is the scratchy-throated Zach Garner. Zach, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Alex. I'm always excited to be here, especially against a conference rival like Northland Pines, Eagle River. They have this long hockey tradition, and always good to have them in the barn.
And now Northland Pines will go in center at Josh Graves. 2:18 to go here. Big pass right in front. Intercepted by Austin Lamer. That was really good defense there from the junior defenseman. Couple of checks from Austin Lamer. He fights for the puck. Still comes up with it. Lamer shot on goal. He scores! Austin Lehmer gets the goal, zooms it right past the freshman goalie, Everett Leslie. And with 2:09 to go here, first period, the Hatchets hit the Selly button for the first time tonight. As the Hatchets are able to squirt that puck free, Austin Lehmer up to Jonah Dickens. Jonah gets it up to Logan Seymour. Tomahawk going down on the offensive tack. Logan across the blue line. Logan making a move. Logan shot on goal, tries to send it back. Rebound, score! Jonah Dickens gets the rebound off the save from Everett Leslie, and the Selly button hit for the second time in 15 seconds. It's 2-0 Hatchets. Between their goals by Lehmer and Dickens, faceoff won by Tomahawk. It's going to be sent right over to Jonah Dickens across the blue line. Jonah looks to operate. Jonah leaves it. Logan Seymour shot on goal. He scores! Logan Seymour gets the goal. Jonah to Logan again, and a Selly button hit with 7.8 to go in the first period. 3-0 Tomahawk. Tries to corral it, couldn't get it, could not get a clean shot off, and it's scooped up by the Eagles with Anderson Kielty. Now fighting for it along the boards, Milan Chobanov. Loose puck right in front of the net. Caleb scores! Caleb Dickens gets the goal. He's going to hit the Selly button on the far side. 4-1 Tomahawk. 5:09 to go here. Second period. That was a wild goal from Caleb Dickens.
Yeah, great hands by Caleb. Great patience. Not to try the one-timer. He caught the pass, did one little stick handle, gathered himself, and was able to just kind of fire. He got left alone in front of the net, and he knows what to do. That's not a person you want to leave out in front like that.
After the roughing penalty, now here is Jonah Dickens looking to operate. Jonah tries to loop it right back along the board. Scooped up by Braden Lehmer. Braden looks to operate. Instead tries to center it back out in front. Logan Seymour tries to get a shot. Rebound landed right in front. Score! Jonah Dickens does get the goal. Yes, he got it. It was a bit of a delayed horn sound, but Jonah does get the goal. That is his second of the night. 5-1 Tomahawk. 15:05 to go, third period. Now here comes Landon Seymour. He'll take it across the blue line. Landon leaves it for Jonah Dickens. Jonah shot on goal. Score again! Trick for Jonah Dickens once again. 6-1 Tomahawk. Another assist for Landon Seymour. Selly button hit once again.
Yeah, we've seen the Hatchets. How many times have they scored two goals within 20 seconds?
That is unbelievable. That's the second time they've done that tonight.
Yes, exactly. 18 seconds again, if my math is correct here. For the second time, both 18 seconds apart.
So Jonah Dickens with the hat trick tonight, his fourth point. He's now got 40 points on the season. Congratulations to him. Riley getting it up to Landon Seymour. Landon looking, gets it up. Jonah Dickens, here he comes again with a one-on-one. Dickens with a nice move. Jonah with a move. Shot on goal. He scores! Jonah Dickens with goal number 4. 7-1 Tomahawk, 5:50 to go, third period. Clock is going to hit zeros, and there you go. Tomahawk gets the victory over Northland Pines tonight. The exact revenge on the Eagles after being knocked out by them in the playoffs last year. Final score, Tomahawk 7, Northland Pines 1.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5, WJJQ Tomahawk.